Public safety, education, and subsistence were three of the main things that Mike Dunleavy and Mark Begich spoke on when interviewed by KNOM in this election cycle. Begich is the candidate for the Democratic Party, while Dunleavy is running as a Republican. KNOM spoke with Begich when he visited Nome in late August. Dunleavy did not campaign in Western Alaska and spoke to KNOM by phone interview earlier this week. Begich and Dunleavy will be joined on Tuesday's ballot by Libertarian Billy Toyin, who recent polls have showed with 3% of the vote. Dunleavy did not do any direct campaigning in the Seward Peninsula. In a phone interview with KNOM, he mentioned planning to come to Northwest Alaska in September, but changing plans after Ashley Johnson Barr went missing.
We didn't want to get out there and be campaigning when people were looking for this young girl.
The candidates had differing views on education. Republican Mike Dunleavy clarified comments he made last month in Fairbanks that led some to think he was suggesting that the state send children to boarding schools. He said he would never advocate schools to be shut down, but is open to other options to provide a more comprehensive high school education for rural students.
You have elementary kids in these villages, and there's just no way, historically speaking, there was no way that those kids were ever sent out, nor should they ever be sent out. So it was really focused on high school. And what I was trying to say was, we have a lot of small rural villages with small high schools, some with one and two teacher schools. There's no way they can deliver a comprehensive program like you can get in other parts of the state where you have more people. So what I was advocating for was that in the hub areas, that we build up the dorm capacity in those hub areas so that kids could go to school on terms. Go to Nome and take a four-week physics class and lab, let's say.
When asked if he was concerned whether or not this would cause youth to leave the area, Dunleavy responded that he didn't think it was part of the government's responsibility to help people decide where they want to live. Both Dunleavy and Begich noted that the lack of housing makes teacher retention difficult in the region, and both felt that teacher mentor programs could be helpful in keeping qualified teachers in the state. Democrat Mark Begich outlined a small part of the state's current challenge.
Another problem we have with our education system is even if we get great teachers who will work for the pay, we also have to ensure they have good benefits. And right now, the newer hires don't. After 5 years of teaching, a lot of them move on. They go to another community out of state because they can get defined benefit. Defined benefit ensures that 20 years from now when they retire or 30 years from now when they retire, they will have a benefit that's a livable benefit, that they can live in dignity. And I think we have to think about that as a state of what we want to do with our educators.
He suggested that the best way to get homegrown teachers is to make kids see a career in education as a, quote, opportunity. He cited village dental programs that allow rural students to train and then come back to use their skills in their communities as a model for education.
We also have to ensure that when they come back to the community, there's affordable housing to ensure they have a place to stay when they come back, that the benefits, as I said, are important, but also that we give them an education that's a value not only for, you know, because a lot of times the education is an urban education. We want to make sure it's adaptable to rural communities too, where we want to make sure it's culturally sensitive, understanding the community you're in, recognizing there's going to be differences in, you know, when it's hunting season, fishing season. There's all kinds of things you have to keep in perspective.
Neither candidate offered firm solutions as to how they would get money for better teaching housing or for these programs. In interviews with APRN, Begich has more recently defined a plan to put half of the state permanent fund earnings into schools and have the other half pay out permanent fund dividends. Both candidates were asked about their plans to help communities where subsistence has been affected by changing weather patterns. Here is candidate Mark Begich.
It's a real thing. It's having an impact on our fisheries. We need additional research, utilize our universities in a much more aggressive way, and also utilize what I call our on-the-ground people. What I mean by that are people who are fishing, who've been doing it for generations. They have a lot of knowledge that is not always incorporated in this information. But the one you can never forget is the people who harvest to live, to survive. We also have to be working with the federal government because they're going to have, be frank with you, deeper pockets that we have to get from. I think the state's going to have to, with the federal government, participate, as some have already, in mitigation, moving some of these communities as they desire to literally, as we would say, just simply higher ground. But we have to be careful that the communities must be engaged in this decision. We cannot have a state plan. We can't have a federal plan that dictates down. And in that process, we need to use traditional knowledge.
Mike Dunleavy said he does not think that the state is a major contributor to climate change, and at the time does not have policies regarding subsistence harvest.
We're not really a smokestack state. We're not really adding a lot of pollution to the air, to the atmosphere, so I'm not sure what we can do. So we're really going to be in the position of reacting to what happens with the climate. So I would certainly love to have a conversation. I would love to sit down and talk with folks out in rural Alaska as to how they see the climate impacting their ability to harvest food.
Both candidates acknowledge that the state will have to come to the aid of communities who will need help moving or adapting to changing geography over the coming years. Dunleavy did address the need for a more diversified Alaskan economy, which he hopes will lower energy costs, especially in more rural communities.
Every community is going to have its own unique way of producing energy, and we're going to work with these communities statewide through the PCE process as well, but also through some energy, possible energy grants as to how we can get our communities less reliant on oil.
The PCE process Dunleavy mentions is the Power Cost Equalization Program, meant to provide economic assistance to rural communities. Both candidates did agree that public safety would be a priority for their administration, with Dunleavy citing it as being the most important issue facing the state.
And this seems to be the one issue that's unifying all of Alaska, and that is we've got to make our communities safer. We have to make Alaska safer. And so we are going to put together teams to focus also solely on sexual assault. We're going to make sure that any rape kits are processed quickly so that we can bring those perpetrators to trial and bring justice to the victims as quick as possible. We're going to beef up our investigative units to make sure that any reported sexual assault is taken seriously and investigated quickly.
Dunleavy mentioned utilizing Breeze Law and Aaron's Law as educational tools to prevent sexual assault, noting that education is a crucial part of public safety. Throughout his campaign, Dunleavy has said that recruitment and retention of law enforcement would be the first step in tackling public safety, but did address concerns of corruption within the force.
The public has to trust that those individuals are there to do good for the public. If that trust is broken through neglect or criminal behavior, they've also got to be investigated quickly and brought to justice. And just because one is in law enforcement, if they're involved in an incident or they're not carrying out their duties, they also need to be dealt with quickly, because if not, you're going to lose the trust of the people in your government and in your policing agencies.
The Republican candidate is endorsed by the Public Safety Employees Association. Democrat Mark Begich noted that as of early fall, the state had 40 vacant trooper positions that could assist rural policing.
I've talked about doing what I call a state cops program. What does that mean? That means money available for cities to match against their local money to hire more public safety officers. I think that will be important. The second thing we need to do is recognize that 80% of the people incarcerated are because of substance abuse. So we have to be real honest with ourselves that we have to put more money into prevention and treatment. I think we have to do more to support village police, VPSOs, in the sense of their training, what they get paid, because they're on the lowest of the lowest pay level. Also, we have to have some standards. We can't just have people who have backgrounds that may not be the most desirable for these positions. We have to help them increase and improve their standards. But we have to do it also along with saying, if we're going to do that, we're also going to make sure you get compensated. And if that means the state partners with the tribes for their tribal police, we should do that.
Begich had his own ideas for citizen and police accountability, some of which were modeled on programs he implemented as mayor of Anchorage.
We created a Citizens Academy. The idea of this was citizens could be engaged with their police department. They would learn techniques and understanding. They would take ride-alongs and go out on police calls for a little while. They would engage with them. Why did we do that? Because the faster we can connect the citizens with our public safety department, a couple things will happen. One, they'll understand more about the department. But two, they can also be almost the eyes and ears of the community saying, well, wait a second here. You're not doing this. Why aren't you?
In addition to Mark Begich and Mike Dunleavy, voters will also have the opportunity to vote for Libertarian candidate Billy Toyin. Governor Walker will be on the ballot, but he is no longer running. When he withdrew his candidacy, it was too late to be removed from the ballot. Early voting is an option for voters across the state and is currently open in Nome now. The general election is on Tuesday, November 6th, and voters in Nome will be voting at Old St. Joseph's Church. For KNOM Update News, I'm Emily Hofstetter in Nome.